I want to thank everybody for Wednesday night. We had a wonderful turnout. We had 70 people there, and that's not just preacher math. I know that that was what I was told was the accurate number. I first told 69, and then it went up by one. I would not go up by one if it was preacher math. I'd be more like 80, 85. But 70 we had on Wednesday night. It was a good night. We had a good time together, good fellowship. And so thank you all that have participated in that. Our next community table will be on June 18. And then we are also continuing to look for volunteers in our Sunday school and our children's ministry here at First Baptist Church. So be aware of that. And in particular, if you would like to help in the nursery, see Mandy Daniken and sign up for that. The more the merrier, the more people that we have helping, you know, you don't have to help as often. And so the way it's set up, it seems like it's a good mix right now, but we could always use a few more. So please volunteer for that. If you are new here today, I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here. We have visitors from Tennessee this morning that are Samantha's cousins. So welcome to you folks. Glad to have you here. We have other family members from Florida that are here in the back. There's Brenda's son. You know, we have, these are people that have are visiting us for the first time or first time in a long time. So we're grateful to have them here. I believe that it's never a mistake that we're here together in this place, that God has brought us here for some reason, for some purpose, whether you've just come back or what have you. God is doing something in your midst, and you're part of it today for a particular reason. Maybe you didn't come with that mindset. Maybe that's not how you think, but that is how God moves. You know, you're here for a reason today. So I pray on this Pentecost Sunday that the Holy Spirit would touch your heart, the Holy Spirit would move your mind, and that you would feel His presence in your life today, and that through the power of God's Word, that it would speak to your hearts and perhaps encourage you in some way, in whatever way it is that you need this morning. And I may not know that need, but you do, or maybe you don't, and God's going to reveal it to you. But you're here for a reason today. If you have been with us the last couple of weeks, you know that we've been exploring John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. If you have not been with us here the last couple weeks, yes, we have been exploring John chapter 15 and the vine and the branches. But just a real quick review for you in case aren't familiar with that. So the first week, we learned that we need to be connected to the vine. Jesus tells us early on in John chapter 15 that He is the vine and we are the branches. And so that's what we learned the first week. Just as a branch needs to be connected to a vine in order to live and to produce fruit, so we too, as human beings, need to be connected to Jesus so that we can live abundant lives and so that we can produce the kind of fruit that God would have each of us to produce. And then last week, we learned about God. God is the gardener. God is a good gardener. And I told you about my brown thumbs and that I am not a good gardener. My dad was a good gardener. But God is a good gardener. And even though God has to cut off or prune from the vine occasionally, it's for our own benefit. And when you do this, even with vegetables or fruits or trees, there's a reason for it. And it looks and maybe appears painful. And it appears painful to us, it feels painful to us when something has to be pruned or cut off from our lives. But it is the end result that we're after. And that is that we can feel the presence of God, that we can know that He is doing it for our own good, and that because of it, we can produce good fruit in our lives. And so this week, we're going to continue in John chapter 15. And we're going to look at the truth that every life is going to produce fruit. I've spoken about this from time to time, but I want to unpack it more today with you. When you consider the fruit that every life will produce, you understand that that may not be good fruit. Because even trees that don't get pruned, even they still sometimes produce fruit, and it's not quite the quality that you're hoping for. It's not really that good. We all produce fruit of some kind in our lives, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. We produce fruit in our words. We produce fruit in our actions or in our deeds, each and every one of us. There's a story of a family that had recently purchased 4 acres, and they decided that they wanted to plant some fruit trees on their property because they thought, wouldn't it be really nice if we could go out and we could just handpick our own fruit, bring it right in, you know, peel it, eat it, whatever, get it all fixed up. So they ordered online 5 peach trees. Now, these peach trees that they ordered were very young, and so when they arrived, they simply looked like a stick. You know what I'm talking about, right? If you've ever bought a very young sapling, it just comes, and they all kind of look alike, just a stick that you put in the ground, you water, God provides the sunlight, you maybe give it some nourishment, whatever that may be. And you find out as they begin to grow that they take shape. They take shape of a tree. They begin to look like something. And you're like, all right, this is good. We planted these 5 peach trees and we faithfully watered them. We're going to take care of them. And as those 5 trees began to grow, the family noticed that one of them was a little bit different from the other 4. The leaves seemed to be a little bit different from the other 4, but they continued to water it, they continued to love it, care for it, nurture it, all the things that needed to be done so that this tree could grow, so that this tree could produce a fruit. Well, as time went by, they realized that it was time for the fruit to begin to appear, and on those 4 trees, there were peaches, just like they thought. But on that 5th tree, they realized, wait a minute, this was never a peach tree all along. It was an apple tree. And so it had a different kind of fruit. We will be known by the type of fruits that we produce. 4 peach trees produced peaches. 1 apple tree produced apples. That's how they knew. The fruit gave it away. The leaves were kind of a beginning to tell them that there was something different about it, but it was ultimately the fruit that gave it away. They realized that they had 4 peach trees and 1 apple tree, excuse me. So every apple tree, every peach tree, every blueberry bush, every strawberry plant is meant to produce a crop. I remember when I was growing up and we planted strawberries. Oh, they were so good. It was always fun to go out and pick strawberries, and they tasted so, so very good. That was the crop that we wanted to produce. We wanted to produce strawberries so that we could put them on cereal, that we could roll them in sugar, that we could, you know, eat them right off of the plant, as my brother and I would do from time to time. The same thing is true for us as human beings. We grow, we receive nurture from our family, our loved ones, we receive what we need from God, and we produce fruit. We produce some kind of fruit. And that fruit that we persist, and I want this to be very clear, that fruit that we produce is consistent always with the type of tree our lives become. That fruit that we produce is always, always consistent with who we are on the inside. Now let that sink in for a little bit. So the first point I want to make this morning is this, that your words and your actions become the fruit of your life. We're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 15, and I'll be reading from verses 4 just through 8 for this morning from this Gospel according to John. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus continues, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man or woman remains in me and I in he or she will bear much fruit. And apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he or she is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus makes very clear in the scripture that our goal as Christ's disciples and Christ's followers is that we give God the glory in how we live our lives. We are constantly showing people what's inside of us. So when we think about it in terms of we're going to be giving God the glory with our lives, we should be concerned with who we are and what we're putting out. Your words and your actions are the fruit of your life. So, how you treat people, what you say about people, how you talk to your family, how you treat your neighbors and your coworkers, how you spend your time, what you value, and what you invest in. These are ways in which we live our lives. All of these things are an outflow of our heart. They reflect who we are. They reflect how we have made ourselves. Because God gives us a choice. He gives us free will. And so it reflects our hearts. Jesus speaks of that, of course, in John 15. And he continues this conversation that we've been having the last couple of weeks. All of us are going to produce fruit, whether we like it or not. Whether it's good or bad, all of us will produce fruit. Just like trees and bushes and all of those things that God created that are meant to produce that fruit will do so if cared for properly. Some kind of fruit. But we're able to choose. We have to make choices, and those choices will reveal what's on the inside, what we think about, how we act, the words that we utter when no one else is around, or when we're side by side with someone that we talk privately to and gossip with. What is that? Does that reflect God? Are you reflecting God in those moments when no one else is around? Do your actions look like love? Do they reflect grace and mercy and kindness and goodness and compassion? We need to ask ourselves that question. And so when you go to verse 7, you realize that Jesus says in verse 7 these words. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. I believe what that is saying there is that you ask for what you need. You ask for what is in tuned with how God wants you to live. So if you're connected to the vine, if you understand what Jesus is all about, you're going to ask for those things and that help that God gives to you. You're going to ask for those things. We're going to talk about that here in a moment. It's like a well-loved child who goes to his mom or dad or her mom and dad, and we say, "Can I do this or can I do that?" And a mom or dad is going to have to discern if that is a good thing for them or a bad thing for them. If that's something that they can do now, or maybe it's something they need to wait and do later when they're more mature. and when they have a better understanding. But God is faithful always, and when we ask, He hears. And I believe then He discerns and He decides whether or not we are able to do that at that point. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says maybe, or wait for a little while. We have to figure that out. God is faithful to hear our requests, and God gives us the power and the ability and the resources we need to be His disciples. But being one of His disciples is not something that we can fake. It's not something that you can just put on your clothes, that you can put on the right face, you can give the right amount of money, or you can be on the right amount of boards or something in the church. It's something you can't fake. It comes from a genuine connection to Jesus Christ. That's how this whole scripture started off. Jesus is the true vine. He is the one that we need to be connected to. When I was growing up, in our living room, we had a bowl that sat on the coffee table. The coffee table was a very special thing in our house. No one touched it. No one used it, except when family came over. And that was my mom's parents or my dad's parent, my grandmother. That's when it got used at holidays. But otherwise, it was always hands off the coffee table. One of those sacred things in the living room of our home. Well, anyway, on this coffee table sat a bowl. And in this bowl, there was fruit. How many of you had this bowl of fruit in your home at one time, or still have it there today? And you know what I'm talking about, the plastic fruit. Any of you have it? Anybody still have one? Come on. Come on, anybody still living back in the 1960s and 70s here? No, Greg, you got one? All right, man. All right. You know what I'm talking about. And this fruit, it looks so good. It looks so realistic that you want to pick up that banana and you want to peel it and eat it. Or the grapes, they look like they just come off the vine and you could pick them and eat them. But you have this rubbery stuff in your mouth. Or if you saw an apple and somebody's taking the time to carve it out of some styrofoam, you take a big old bite of that, you'd get a crunch all right, but it would be nasty. And you'd quickly realize that it wasn't the real thing. It wasn't something that you could fake. And so that was something that I always remember being in our living room as I was growing up. When I thought about fruit, I thought that'd be fun to talk about. But those are those decorations that are there to provide some kind of, I don't know why people put it in their houses, let's be honest. I don't know why it was there. But it was something that people thought they needed to have as a decoration in their homes during that time. Your life will produce fruit. My life will produce fruit. Sometimes that fruit that we produce is selfishness, it's guilt, it's anger, it's bitterness, or the kind of fruit that you might produce is from the Spirit of God. The fruits of the Spirit that we spoke of from the very first week from the book of Galatians in chapter 5, and it would be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, patience, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the fruits that can impact our lives. And as you see the different fruits, if you look at selfishness, guilt, and anger, what kind of fruit is that? What does that portray about Jesus? How do people see that fruit in you? And if they know that you're a Christian or that you come to church and they see that, what do they think of you? But if you're a person who has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, they're going to begin to know that there's something different about you, that you produce that kind of fruit. You can see the vast impact that it has, not only on ourselves and our families, but people that we maybe don't even see, or people that watch us and we don't even know they're looking. No matter where the fruit originates, it will be revealed for what it truly is. Number two, we are recognized by that fruit. So we already heard the lesson about the four peach trees and the one apple tree. It was revealed when the apple appeared that, guess what? We don't have five peach trees, we have four peach trees and an apple tree. Jesus talked about fruit a lot in the Bible. And he spoke about it again in another one of the Gospels. And we'll go to that reading now from Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. It's up on the screen, or you can turn and follow along in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 18. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. But their fruit you will recognize. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. And I'm going to add on two verses there, the next two. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. We all already have heard in that first part of the scripture that we've been looking at from John chapter 15 about the branches that are cut off, that are bearing no fruit, and they're cut off and they're thrown into a fire. They're done away with. This could be interpreted a couple of ways. Number one is the fact that there's judgment coming down. There's judgment from God that if you're not producing fruit, you're not worth anything because you're not connected to God, you're not going to produce anything good. That's what the scripture says, that without being connected, you cannot do anything. And so there's no use for that, and so it's cut off and it's thrown into the fire. This brings about judgment. The other thing, though, and another way to look at this passage is that that very same person perhaps never really was a true follower of Jesus Christ in the first place. And why do you know that? Because they weren't producing fruit. They weren't producing the fruit that God made them. And so therefore, again, that is cut off. It has no usefulness, just as a dead branch doesn't have usefulness on any kind of plant or tree. It needs to be trimmed back, it needs to be pruned, and it's done away with. It's removed from the situation. Jesus tells us in verse 15 that we need to pay full attention, that we need to beware, that we need to watch out. For what? Wolves in sheep's clothing. The Greek word that he uses here is proseko, which means that beware, be on the lookout. Watch out for these wolves in sheep's clothing. Pay full attention. Jesus wants us to pay full attention to the fact that there are false prophets. There are people, and then there were the Pharisees in the scriptures, people who should have known better, people who were churched people that knew the laws, and they were the ones that Jesus was saying, look out for these people. Look out for them. Be on the lookout. And you can distinguish truth from falsehood every time based on the fruit, true fruit or false fruit. And it's pretty easy to detect. Have you ever ordered a strawberry sundae when you've been out somewhere? I have. I love strawberries. It's second best fruit, and in my opinion, to peaches. I love peaches. And I enjoy fruit a lot. And my grandma taught me about strawberries and rolling them in sour cream and then rolling them in brown sugar. Oh my goodness. If you've not done this, you have to try it. It is so, so good and so bad for you at the same time. My grandma was the same one who taught me you could put a piece of American cheese over a piece of apple pie. I don't know if anybody has ever tried that before. Some people probably think that ruins it, but grandma did that. It was interesting. But if you go out and you order some fruit, and you're used to having fresh fruit and good fruit, maybe it's something that you've grown yourself or something that you've painstakingly picked out at the supermarket, and you go out and say you order a strawberry sundae, and it comes back and it's got these gnarly looking strawberries on it. They're all brown, purpley looking. They're not even hardly red. And you're like, this is not fruit. This is not what I've come to expect. Why is that? Why is that? Because maybe they're not fresh. They're not good. Maybe they've been sitting around for too long. They've grown stagnant. They've grown nasty, and so they're no longer any good. But yet, sometimes they still make their way onto a salad bar or onto some ice cream or something because people need to use them up. False prophets are not people that are going to bring joy. They're not people that are going to bring kindness and goodness and self-control and peace and patience. Pay attention to the fruit. Pay close attention to the fruit. More often than not, sometimes the fruit that we see is pride and arrogance, indifference, manipulation, shame, guilt, fear, and greed. Pay attention to the fruit. The fruit will give some away every single time. We are recognized in our lives by the fruit that we produce. Well, we could stop there, but I still see we have some time on the clock. And I have one more thing I'd like to bring to you this morning. And that is, if you realize this morning, they did take the clock out years ago, and then we got this fancy TV back there, and it's got the time on it, so got to pay attention to it. Anyway, the kind of fruit that you produce, if you're not happy with it this morning, if you've already felt convicted by God's Holy Spirit, the good news is that you can change. You still are alive. You're here today. You're above ground. You're taking nourishment. There's still time on the clock for you today to make an adjustment. Just like farmers from time to time till their crops under because they've either had too much rain or there's been a drought and they're no longer any good, they just till it under and they start over. That's what God provides for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. He gives us the opportunity to receive forgiveness, to have mercy, and to have grace that we can receive in this life. And so you can begin again, and you can get reconnected to Jesus while you still have breath. You still can produce good fruit in this life. Even though maybe right now you're not, or you realize there are a couple areas in your life where you need to pay closer attention because you know already that they're not in focus with what a disciple should live like. If we focus on our private lives with Jesus, it's going to impact our public lives. If Jesus is really real to us, it's going to impact the people that we are when we walk outside of here. But we often struggle with this, don't we? Because we're prideful people. We have a difficult time humbling ourselves. To think, you know, well, I'm really not that bad. Or we have a difficult time assessing ourselves. So I want to give you just one more scripture this morning. It's not up on the screen. If you want to look it up on your phone, it's chapter 3 of Romans. And it talks about a sober judgment. I thought I had it marked in mine, but I don't. But here we go. Romans chapter 12. And I'm going to read just verse 3 to you this morning. For by the grace given me, this is Paul writing to the church there. He says, I say to you, every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. In context, this verse is speaking about the fact that God has given us all spiritual gifts, and we need to humble ourselves and assess how we're using those gifts. We're talking about fruits of the Spirit here in this context, but I think the same scripture could apply for us, that we consider looking at ourselves, understand your own limitations in those gifts that you have, understand your own abilities and what they are and how you're going to use them. Assess your life and see if you're producing the kind of fruit that you need to produce there, or if it's just not producing anything and you need to stop doing that. You see, when we abide in Christ, I believe, and I think the scriptures point this out and support this, is that we're going to know. We're going to have an understanding. We're going to have a conviction by the Holy Spirit in our hearts to live in a new and a different way and to try to produce good fruit. But yet we often fall short. We often fall short. But we're going to be recognized by our words and our actions. We're going to be either recognized as good fruit or bad fruit. But when we abide in Christ, and when we allow and make room for God's Holy Spirit to speak to us about areas of our lives that don't look like Jesus, then we can change. We can change that. We can ask God to forgive us. When we remain in Him, when we abide in Him, and when we wait on Him. I want to give you just three things real quick, and then we'll be finished. How do we do this? How do we go about making all this happen? If you're really interested in, I want you to hear this today. You have to search the Word. You have to be in God's Word. You have to identify the kinds of attitudes and actions that you read about in the Scriptures, and are those being reflected in your life? And you do what Jesus tells the people that He's speaking to here in the Scripture in John 15, those Pharisees and those people that are gathered around Him, ask, and it will be given to you. So identify those areas that you want to have in your heart and your life, and then ask God to reveal those to you and show you, is that something that I can become? Is that what you want me to do? Secondly, pray. Pray. Simply pray and ask God to reveal the areas of your life that need some attention. We all have them. We're none of us here perfect today. And so we all have areas that we can work on. Pray and ask God to really reveal those areas to you, help you to be humble, help you to be convicted, and then help you to repent and commit to embracing new ways to honor Him. The final thing might be a little more difficult. Some of you have prayer partners. Some of you have people that you have devotions with or connect with. Ask them, what fruit do you see in my life? What areas in my life do you think I have that I need to work on? Ask them. Ask them to be honest. Ask them to be considerate and gracious. But ask them, what areas do you see in my life that are producing fruit? And what areas in my life that you see that need to be cut off, trimmed back, done away with? What areas do I need to connect more with Jesus? Friends, that's it. Your life, my life, we're all going to produce some kind of fruit. We're going to be able to produce good fruit or bad fruit, one way or the other. You need to expect it, because that's what happens, right? You plant something, you expect to get a crop. You expect it to be good. God planted you. God expects something good out of your life. He wants to see you bear fruit. For a true disciple is known, what? How? By the fruits they produce. What kind of fruit are you producing in your life? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, which you revealed to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Anything that we've heard or felt today in our hearts, our minds, anything that we've been convicted of is not by me, but by you, O God, and by your word. We pray that we will listen to what we've heard, discern, pray, study the scriptures, ask a good friend. Lord, show us where we can improve. Show us how we can bear good fruit so that others can see your good works in us and glorify your Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.